welcome.
Here we are.
Welcome to today's episode of The Easy Sleepers. I'm here with Mike.
And I'm here with Doug.
Oh, yeah. Again, once again, we're coming to you from the Better Edge. The Better Edge studio. Alex, I talked to him last week about it. He said he was mad that I keep saying that, but I told him it's not me, it's you. You told me to say it.
I have a gun pointed at him right now. You guys can't see.
It's a big gun.
That's a threat.
Yeah. But so we're here to talk about, for a little bit, we're here to talk about, we got a new single coming out, Pleasure Thrills. Timekeeper is done. That shit is done.
You don't ever have to listen to it again.
Yeah.
Unless you want to.
I don't even want to think about it. Time what?
We took it off. It's already gone. We took it off Spotify.
So we have a new song that's coming out very soon.
Single number 2 from the big album.
Yes, the big album, which shall be named eventually. This song is called Pleasure Thrills. It used to be called. It used to have the very unique name of Pop Song.
Yeah, up until like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that was just a placeholder. It's one of my favorite to play live because I feel like I can really get into it, especially in the chorus.
Why is that?
I can sort of aggressively sing well that part and. Doesn't come off as weird. Yeah, I can get into it. I also just like the meaning of the song, too. It's fun.
Do you want to get into the meaning at all?
Yeah, you know, so that's the thing is, like, when we're pitching these songs, we have to write stuff. We have to write what it's about. When I say pitch, I mean, like, we're sending it to
like a magazine or something.
Magazines, websites, all that stuff, because we want them to write about it. It's a little peek behind the curtain there for all of you. So you have to sort of
glamorous.
you have to write about what the song means to you. And I hate that. I don't like writing about what the song means to me.
You've already put in the song everything you're feeling.
Just listen to the song, you idiot, you moron.
I think, on a real note, I do think that, like, why are my lights not connected? All right, whatever.
The vibe is off.
Vibe's way off.
The vibe is off.
What were we saying?
Having to write about the meaning of the song. And I don't like that.
Yes. Yeah, I think there's a lot of times I've had that, like, kind of ruin a song for me when you look too much into it.
Right.
Like, you can, as a listener, associate meaning with the song, and then you might find out that it was meant to be something totally different, and it ruins your interpretation. So
right.
Sometimes it's better left unsaid.
Yeah.
Or less is more, and you let people relate in whatever way they like to.
Yeah, I don't like taking all the mystery out of a song, you know, and just telling people what the song means. It has a meaning to me, and I think everybody should just sort of figure that out for themselves, what that means.
We want people to think that we're way smarter than them, and
yes,
that there's not a way we can put it in words that they'll understand
right.
to describe it that makes sense.
When in truth, we're dumber.
Yeah,
usually.
We chat GPT every song, actually.
So that's annoying to have to do. So I had to write a whole press release. And David, he sort of like wrote the first draft of it. He did a really good job. But part of the song is about not wanting to tell people what something is about. We call it in that biz meta. So that's what the song is about. And so I felt like it would be really weird then to explain what the song is about in a press release. So I tried to keep it as vague as possible. Hopefully that comes off. But otherwise, like, it's a really good song. I love it. I love playing it. It's great energy. It's been in the repertoire for a long time.
Yeah. Not with its current name.
Right.
How did that name come to be? Because I know
you Pleasure had a big Thrills? Part of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, we talked about on the first pod how you keep a notebook by your bedside mm-hmm. table and you just write stuff down. It's the same thing. It just sounded, I was just brainstorming one night, just like 100 different things, word combinations that sounded interesting together. And unfortunately, it doesn't really mean anything. Once again, what I'm trying to say is there's no depth to me and the song.
All right, we'll cut that out.
It's all surface. But yeah. And the song has been in the rotation for quite a while. And actually, Alex wrote he wrote the chorus to the song.
The riff?
Yeah, he wrote the riff. And, you know, of course, I had to like sprinkle my magic on it. You know, I had to do what I do.
And Rick Rubin the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's Anthony Kiedis. And then I'm Rick Rubin. I'm a big, fat, bearded guy who ties everything together. So, yeah, it's fun. Do you like playing it live?
I do. It's, I think, the only song I ever sit down and play sometimes, at least for the beginning. Like, it has a nice, chill intro. It ends up ramping up and being mm-hmm. really fun, but I think there's been a couple times we've played it where it's kind of a nice break. It's kind of like the Dream Prison vibe. It's a nice,
right.
dreamier, not quite as much edge until you get further into it.
Right.
So I like playing it. It kind of fits anywhere in the set because it is a pretty dynamic song. It's yeah. always fun. I feel like it always lands pretty well. People like it.
Yeah, and I think it's also very simple. I really like the early Beatles albums where they would write 2.5 minute pop songs.
But they'd cram a bunch of little sections in as much as they could.
Yeah, they would keep it. It was like chock full of cool stuff. And so I tried to do that with this. And of course, everybody else sort of like brought their own pieces to it that made it this great sum, you know, just this awesome song. We have a few songs like that are just like very simple, straight ahead songs. And I think there's a lot of room for that in music. I don't think everything doesn't have to be like intellectual and cool, you know?
Yeah. I think I would argue that it's harder to make something like a Beatles, early Beatles song that is only 2 minutes and some change with a lot going on that stays interesting.
Right.
It's tough. That's just because it's short in time doesn't mean it's a simpler song. I mean, that's more of a challenge in my eyes.
Yeah. And I've always tried to tell that to Alex, but because he hates the Beatles.
I thought he loved the Beatles.
No,
I thought he was their biggest fan.
No, we've been over this a lot. He really dislikes the Beatles. I don't know what it is. It's weird.
There's got to be something there. We got to crack this open in another episode.
So there's some deep pain there associated with the Beatles, but yeah.
A man with a bowl cut hit him as a child at some point.
A British man.
Yeah. A neighbor or something.
You know, I do know that he doesn't like British people.
Not even David's family?
No, I think they're okay. I think they're cool because, you know, they live in America.
Behind enemy lines.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what's there not to like? Yes, song number two. It's good. I think people are going to like it. And it's come a long way. It's been in the works for probably a year or something. Any fun stories? We've played it a lot of places now. If you've seen us in the last half a year, maybe more, you've probably heard this song in some form. I think I have a story.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was this song. I'm almost positive, but we were playing in Mesa last year.
Right.
For Mesa Music Festival, and it was one of the only times I broke a string during a song on set, on stage. And I didn't know what to do. I think that had never happened before, so I like...
It's a moment of panic.
Yeah, I just vibed it out. We danced.
Yeah.
I think I twirled the broken string around.
Yeah.
So people knew, you know, this. I didn't just stop playing and started dancing. There was a reason.
What that was your G string that broke?
It's always my G string. I'm always having problems with my G string.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just, you know, take it off altogether. Easier. Do you remember playing it anywhere? Any fun?
No, not really. I have a really bad memory. Strictly business. I have a really bad memory. But I do remember we took it to our friend Jimmy. He helps us.
Ooh, yeah.
Sort of, he takes things the last mile for us. We bring songs to him.
Yeah, we're going tomorrow night, actually.
Yeah, and everything is like 96% done when we take it to him. And then we go there and he helps us just do some little things to help sort of finish it off. And for this song, he came up with a really cool idea to have a little lead fill in the second verse. Yeah. And so I recorded it. It was difficult to do that because everyone was looking at me while I was, while I was writing.
It's like potty training.
Right, right. Yeah. And the first, maybe
don't look at me.
Six times I played it, at least one person at any time was like, that's not right.
You want to be like, you do it then.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's part of the creative process is you have to not take things personally, because I think everybody wants the song to be as best as it can be.
Yeah.
But yeah, eventually I got it right, and I think the song sounds great.
That's why we go to Jimmy for the last bit.
Yeah, we go to him to make so I can feel bad about myself.
Yes, it's more of a hazing thing for Doug.
Yeah.
I heard an interview or something with, I think it was Porter Robinson, music producer, and he said one challenging thing about producing your own music and making it yourself is that you can never be objective in the end. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't have an objective ear because you've heard it 1,000 times.
Right.
And, you know, you made it, so you can't sit there and be like, oh, you need another guitar line right here. It's obvious. But sometimes we go to Jimmy and we've all played this song so many times and like listened to it so many times, it might be a very obvious little last thing that it needs that none of us really thought of.
Yes.
It's hard. It's hard to be objective when you're so close to it for such a long time.
Yeah. Are you hard on yourself when it comes to writing stuff?
Like guitar parts?
Yeah. Like if you write a song, do you ever take a step back and think, oh, this is not as good as I thought it was, or it needs this or that?
Yeah, usually there's a line for me where I don't save my session file that I'm writing something in until I think it's worthy.
Yeah.
If it sucks, I don't want to revisit it.
Yeah.
I want to just move on the next day. So there's a point where I'm like, okay, this is cool. This is worth saving and picking up tomorrow.
Yeah.
I need to, you know, name it and save it. But I think it's a healthy habit to just let go ideas that don't work. I mean, I've done it before with our songs where I'm trying to come up with something, and if it's not happening, mm-hmm. you know, just move on, sleep right. on it, whatever.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say I'm hard on myself. I try to be pretty conscious of the process of songwriting and that it's not, the more time you put in, the better it gets. You know, sometimes you put in time and it just doesn't work. And you got to try again. So, I'm not too hard on myself.
That's the annoying part, because I feel like a lot of things in life, if you work a little bit harder, you can get better at something, or what you're doing gets better. And I think a lot of times with music, that is true, but sometimes it makes it worse.
It's the same for anything creative, I think. You have most normal non-creative jobs. The more time you clock, the more you get paid. That's just how it goes.
Yeah.
The more, you know, you drive Uber or whatever you're doing, more hours in the restaurant, like, you're never not getting paid. Mm-hmm. It's music and art, anything art, I feel like, is the only job where you can sit and, like, work for 8 hours and then just have nothing to show if it doesn't go right. It's not, you know, you don't always get out what you put in. Sometimes it doesn't work, and that's fine.
Yeah, and that can be really dispiriting, but on a happy note, it can also be very satisfying once it actually does come together, you have this beautiful piece of music.
Yeah.
Why can't you just slow down? Why can't you just slow down? Run towards downtown.
Cover art.
That's actually funny. I saw the place today where the photo for the cover art is. I was down. I think I was getting gas.
It's the sex dungeon that you go to every
year? Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, you pull up the sewer grate on Sherman Ave and you just hop down and give them your name. No, I was taking photos for cover art, just ideas for things. Mm-hmm. And I think David had some input on like a storefront or some sort of glass showcase. And I found this place that was some, like, I don't even know if it's open, but it's like a video shop, I guess tapes or something.
Yeah.
And it has a big glowing sign, the big red letters that just says video and nothing else.
I wonder what they sell there. Yeah.
It looks so sketchy. I saw it today, I think for the first time since I took the photo. But it was nighttime, so it was kind of glowing and it looked cool on the film. But no one wants to just see video. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily apply to the song. So we ended up
having
that image before we decided on the name.
Yeah.
And then I think the name was picked and we had our good buddy Zach at Let's Goof. Shout out to Zach. He basically remade the font of those letters into the title of our song and swapped it and then added some cool like motion blur so it looks like my original photo of the me walking at night taking a photo of the sign.
It looks great.
It looks natural. Yeah, it looks
cool.
It's
got a nice mood to it, you know?
I feel like it kind of fits the mood of the song too in some way.
Yeah, so I think it does fit the mood. And, you know, if you're ever at one of our shows, come up and tell me what you think the song is about. And if you're wrong, oh boy, watch out. No, but that's funny about the store that just says video on it. Because last night, I find that there are a lot of places like that in L.A.
And you're like, how is this in business? What's inside there? I would never go in.
Yeah, it's like, this has got to be some sort of like tax shelter, Dodge front.
The amount of upholstery shops I see and like the weirdest part of town where I'm like, there's absolutely no way you're refinishing Lazy Boys all day and making rent on Melrose Ave or wherever you are.
Yeah, so like last night, this is related. Last night I went to this show with Alex and my partner, Kristen. We went to this thing, Jimmy Dore Live. Do you know who he is?
The comedian, right?
Yeah. He's kind of funny sometimes, but
I only know him because you and Alex talk about him all the time. But no, I don't actually.
I think Alex, I think is more of a fan than I am. To me, it's just like fun and interesting to go see new stuff that you haven't seen before. Some of the stuff I agreed with, some of it I didn't necessarily agree with. But anyways, after the show, Kristen and I were walking to our car. And there's a storefront that just says the Hollywood Comedy. And it's like, did they get a six-year-old to name this place?
With a name like that, how can you say no?
Yeah.
Take my money.
It was this like tiny little storefront. It's just probably the worst place to see comedy.
But they got like a good piece of real estate probably.
Yeah, it was so it was on Melrose. Yeah. But I just thought that was weird.
The Hollywood Comedy.
Yeah.
It sounds like they generated the name. Like that doesn't.
Yeah, like Chad GPT came up with a business and they just followed it. Like I think
it's like the chicken wing. That was a restaurant.
When I lived in Northern Virginia, there was a restaurant that I lived by that just said eat. Just in big. I don't even know.
Was it an acronym?
No. It was just, there wasn't even like a name on it. It just said eat, like a big.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just stomp over there.
Is this a suggestion? Yeah. Yeah, there's all sorts of that sort of weird stuff. But yeah.
Yeah, that shop was definitely one of those.
Yeah.
And if you keep walking down that road, I'm sure there's a lot more.
Thank you for tuning into the Easy Sleepers podcast. We have Pleasure Thrills, which is coming out
March 29th.
Yes, yeah.
Very soon.
Yeah, and despite what I said about Timekeeper earlier, please listen to that. If you don't, I'll be very upset.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to talk him off a ledge tonight if you don't listen to Timekeeper. So,
but yeah, Timekeeper has been doing great.
Thank you for listening. It's actually doing better than anything we've put out, and it's making us super pumped to put more stuff out soon.
Yes, we're building on that success. Yeah. So, yes.
Keep tuning in.
Keep listening to that. Pleasure Thrills.
Keep listening to the pod.
Yes, keep listening to the pod. And bye-bye.
Good night.